Seeing Krishna. Today we'll be discussing a Bhagavatam verse as often quoted in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The verse is from the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. It's spoken by Lord Brahma after the Brahma Vibhodana Leela, the pastime of the bewilderment of Lord Brahma, and he tried to take the cows and cowherd boys. The particular spot where we're reading this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita is in Lord Chaitanya's dealings with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The verse is quoted by Gopinathacharya, one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, and a relative of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's always very nice to see how the verses in the Shastra are interlinked. As we were speaking yesterday, it's very juicy to see verses from the Bhagavatam quoted by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's associates. Just like devotees like to learn all the verses that Srila Prabhupada often quoted. Every verse is sweet, but when the verses come through the mouth of Krishna or Chaitanya at his hand, the dearest devotees of the Lord Chaitanya, then the verses are even sweeter. That principle is established in the beginning of Bhagavatam. How the ripened fruit of the Bhagavatam is sweeter and sweeter as it's passed down. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Ajapi jai jeva param bhuja dvaya.
Ajapi jai jeva param bhuja dvaya.
Prasada lesha nugrahi jai vahi.
Prasada lesha nugrahi jai vahi.
Janati taktam bhagavan marinno.
Janati taktam bhagavan marinno.
Nachanye kopi charam vichinvan.
Nachanye kopi charam vichinvan.
Ajhapi jay jiva param bhuja dvaya.
Ajhapi jay jiva param bhuja dvaya.
Prasada leshanu grahi devahi.
Prasada leshanu grahi devahi.
Janati taktam bhagavan mahinno.
Janati taktam bhagavan mahinno.
Nachanye ko picharam vichinvan.
Nachanye ko picharam vichinvan.
Athapi je deva param bhuja dvaya. Prasada leshanu grahi devahi.
Prasada leshanu grahi devahi.
Janati taktam bhagavan mahinno.
Janati taktam bhagavan mahinno.
Nachanye kopi charam vichinvan.
Nachanye kopi charam vichinvan.
Atha. Therefore,
api,
indeed,
te,
your,
deva,
my Lord,
Pada
Ambuja Dvaya, of the two lotus feet, Prasada,
of the mercy,
Lesha,
by only a trace.
Anugrahita,
favored.
Eva,
Eva,
certainly. Indeed. Jhanati.
Jhanati.
One knows.
Tattvam.
Tattvam.
The truth.
Bhagavat.
Bhagavat.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahimna.
Mahimna.
Of the greatness.
Na.
Na. Never.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
Anya.
Anya.
Another.
Another.
Eka.
Eka.
One.
Api.
Api. Although.
Chiram.
Chiram. For a long period.
Vichinvan.
Vichinvan.
Speculated.
Translation. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Purport. This verse quoted above is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Brahma Samhita states, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atmabhukta. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the ultimate goal of knowledge, Vedaisha Sarvaya Ahameva Veja, one who is not a pure devotee and who is not engaged in the service of the Lord cannot understand him. Lord Brahma therefore confirms this, Vedeshu Durlabham. It is very difficult to understand the Supreme Lord simply through one's studies. Adurlabham Atmabhakta. However, it is very easy for the devotees to capture the Lord. The Lord is known as Ajita, unconquerable. No one can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Lord consents to be conquered by his devotees. That is his nature. As stated in the Padma Purana, Atasi Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Krayam Indriyai Seva Mukhehi Jivada Swayameva Spurachira. Being pleased by devotional activities, the Lord reveals himself to his devotees. That is the way to understand him. The verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, quoted by Gopinathacharya, was originally spoken by Lord Brahma when he was defeated by Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma had stolen all the calves and cowherd boys in order to test Krishna's power. Lord Brahma admitted that his own extraordinary powers within the universe were not in the least comparable to the unlimited powers of Lord Krishna. If Lord Brahma can make a mistake in understanding Krishna, what to speak of ordinary persons who either misunderstand Krishna or falsely present a so-called incarnation of Krishna for their own sense gratification. Om Vijnanachimanandasya Ganjana Shalakya Chakshun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivastani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Seeing Krishna means we need Krishna's mercy. This verse says, Prasadalesha. Just a trace of that mercy. And you can understand the greatness of Krishna's personality. Yes, we're attracted to understanding Krishna's personality. In the ordinary sphere of affairs, the mundane sphere, people look for relationships because they want to be attracted to someone's personality. They want to be intrigued by someone's personality. Oh, someone who I can try to understand. Oh, is that the way you do things? Oh, how nice. That'd be interesting. And of course, your hope is that the other person will want to understand your personality. that has to be there, because after all, we all are so wonderful and unique. Everyone should be interested in each one of us because we're all the greatest. So that's what goes on in relationships. In the mundane sphere, of course, there's the physical aspect, the flesh, which is empowered by Maya to look glistening and shiny and inviting. The modes of nature surcharge ordinary flesh and bone and hair, and your mind just becomes bewildered. And you see the solution to all your problems in life. So there's that aspect. And then there's the personality aspect. So you jump back and forth between the two. Sometimes clutching at the flesh, other times clutching at the personality. You want to be intrigued. Basically, you want to be entertained. This is a big mistake that people make in relationships. They expect entertainment. Especially these days, everything has to be entertainment. You know, on your television, you get, what, how many channels now can you get in Christchurch? Everyone's pretending not to know. Why not? Who have the TV watching now? How many?
13 or something.
No, more than that. I mean, isn't you get on the satellite? You can,
Okay.
So, you just sit there with your remote control and jump from one channel to another. Anyone here did that? Yes. Okay. So, what happens then is you expect that of a person. You expect a person to give you that experience of the 56 channels. That's totally unrealistic. You size up the person. How are you going to entertain me? Well, you're not the best, but you're something. I've got to fill up Saturday night with something. Okay, we'll choose you. Let's see how you can entertain me for a while. So there's so much pressure on each person in the relationship that you've got to produce. You've got to put on a good show. You've got to be prime time TV. So many people they're buckling, they're collapsing under this pressure to be an entertainer. That's all there is to relationships these days. And there's anxiety. Will my entertainment that I'm offering, will that be up to the world standard? Will I be world class in my offerings of entertainment? Really, such a burden. Everyone believes there's such a thing as material happiness, and most people out there are getting it, not me, but it's out there. Satisfying entertainment's going on, so I've got to make sure I keep up with the pack. Obviously, such an unrealistic expectation of a relationship causes it to break down. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, we're honest. We say that, what can a tiny living entity actually do for you? But if Krishna's in the center, then everything is different. Things in relation to Krishna are Krishna conscious. Nirvanda Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Vishnu. When Ajita, the unconquerable Lord Krishna, is in the center of everything, whether it's relationships, organizations, families, then the situation becomes totally different. Then the organization, the relationship, the family has access to the unlimited powers coming from Krishna. So we have established that people like to be intrigued by personality. Basically, that means they're attracted to the gross material energy and the subtle material energy. Mind, intelligence, and false ego also has its attractions. How is it that this shadow material energy is attractive? Only because it's based on Krishna. Therefore, a devotee's quest is to become attracted directly to Krishna. In order to be peaceful in your life, you have to understand that you want to be attracted. Everyone knows what it's like to feel attracted to something or someone. It's like you've got a reason to exist. Ooh, I'm attracted. It's like, because you feel alive. You feel like, yeah, this is what life's all about. That is all meant for Krishna. Only because Krishna is attractive, therefore matter appears attractive. But when you think about it, matter is lifeless. But because of the presence of Krishna and Krishna's parts and parcels, the spirit souls, therefore the material world looks like it can offer some hope to you. Now, the smart person, maybe after many births in this, thinks, what about Krishna's personality? That is what we become anxious to taste. Bhagunam jamanamante, gyanavam maam prapadyante. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. After many births and deaths, you understand, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. And you become fascinated by Krishna directly. Who is the source of all energies? Who is this person who has energies non-different from it? Then your life starts to become successful when you become interested in Krishna's personality. But I was discussing with someone yesterday how the tendency is to be very selfish, simply absorbed in your own mind and body, as if you are a universe in of yourself. That is miserable life. You're depriving yourself of any wider connection. You're just focusing on what your mind is thinking, what your body is feeling. You know what's that? You know how that is. You wake up in the morning and you take stock of your body and mind. What's going on with the body and mind today? No, I'm not feeling too good. Not feeling fulfilled. Feeling empty. It's like sometimes shops, they close for a day or two. We're doing what's called stock taking. And similarly, we're doing the stock taking every day. We close down, and that means we don't do devotional service because we're stock taking on our mind and body. It gets to be very boring. There's no taste to it, but it's a habit forced on us by material nature. Now, there's nothing wrong in taking inventory, stock taking, in Krishna consciousness. That means you're thinking, how can Krishna be served better? I'm existing in relationship to Krishna. What can I do for pleasing Krishna more? How can I be a more sincere devotee? When you do that, Krishna appreciates it very much. Just as you would appreciate if someone was always thinking, how can I please you better? How can I understand you better? Krishna is Purushottam, the Supreme Person. So when he sees the devotee thinking like that, then Krishna says, this is a serious devotee. I'll give him prasadalesha, a trace of my mercy, which is enough to understand the greatness of my personality. This is how bhakti yoga works. We have to have some hankering, though. I want to understand Krishna's personality. I want to go back to Godhead. I want to experience the spiritual world. That eagerness must be there. Now, we've been pointing out that Krishna is everywhere, but the problem is us. We don't see, even though Krishna is there. Think about it. In ordinary life, on a cloudy day, you say, the clouds are covering the sun. But is that actually the fact? No. The clouds are covering your vision. The clouds are not actually covering the sun. The sun is always shining fully in its glory. But we say the clouds are covering the sun. More accurate would be to say the clouds are covering our vision. Not everywhere on the Earth planet are clouds blocking the view of the sun. You can go someplace else and the sun is shining. Similarly, not for everyone is Maya blocking the vision of Krishna. The problem is our vision. Our vision is covered. But Krishna is never affected by his curtain of illusory energy. Therefore, the whole process of Bhakti Yoga is how to rise above these clouds and see the Krishna sun always shining. The process of rising beyond Maya is fueled by an eagerness to know Krishna. Knowing Krishna means serving Krishna. In order to serve Krishna, you have to be somewhat interested in Krishna. How it is that Krishna has four types of personalities? You know anyone who's like that? Who has four types of personalities? And even those four types are a bit contradictory. But that is Krishna. All contradictions in personality are resolved in Krishna. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you're seeing Krishna. Krishna is there. If you take Bhagavad Gita in that way, you'll see Krishna. Just like the Brahmana in Lord Chaitanya's Leela in South India, Sri Ramakrishna. The Brahmana was illiterate, but his guru told him, every day go to the temple and read Bhagavad Gita. So act on the order of the guru. The Brahmana did that, even though he was illiterate. Other Brahmanas were laughing. Everyone knows he can't read. What's he trying to do, sitting there holding his book in his hand? Lord Chaitanya, though, being the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, was not fooled. Lord Chaitanya saw, as he's turning the pages, I see transcendental centers of ecstasy. What's going on? So he went up to the Brahmin and asked, why are you reading Bhagavad Gita? And the Brahmin explained, my guru ordered me, even though I'm illiterate. He ordered me, so therefore I'm trying to execute his order as best I can. I'm turning the pages, even though I don't know what the letters mean. What would you say if you got an order like that? Oh, this is over the top. Yes. This can't be real spiritual life. It's not fitting in with my sense perception. But this illiterate Brahmana took the order of his spiritual master as his life and soul and tried his best. So he's just turning the pages. Spiritual master told me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. He just depended on Krishna's mercy. He did the best he could. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, you're illiterate, but tell me, why is it that as you turn the pages, I see tears coming to your eyes? And the Brahmana said, every time I turn the pages, I see the vision of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna. And when I think how the Supreme Lord becomes the servant of his devotee, these tears come from my eyes. So Lord Chaitanya then embraced him and said, you are the real reader of Bhagavad Gita. You're actually reading with devotion. You've got the prasad alesha, the trace of Krishna's mercy. Therefore, you actually understand Krishna's personality. And then Lord Chaitanya revealed himself to the Brahmana as Krishna and told the Brahmana, don't tell anyone. Well, this is how Krishna consciousness works. The system given by Krishna is to render devotional service, especially by serving the devotee. Then you get the prasadalesha, the trace of Krishna's mercy. Sometimes it's asked. In chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna sees the Vishwarup, the universal form. Why is he afraid? Why does Arjuna say that the demigods, the saintly persons, they are afraid of this form of Krishna? Why would they feel that way? Isn't the Vishwarup also Krishna? But what is the problem with the universal form? You can't love it. And devotees want to love Krishna. Therefore, devotees meditate on Shyam Sundar, Krishna in his threefold bending form, playing the flute, peacock feather in his hair. The universal form, the Vishwarup, is there for establishing to the atheists that if you say someone is God, then they have to show this universal form. That's the purpose. Right there in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna provides a test for anyone who says they're God. Show your universal form. So anytime you meet any bogus spiritual teachers who say they are God, just say, fine, show your universal form, I'll believe you. They'll tell you, I am God, you are God, the only difference is I remember, you have forgotten. Give me some money, and I'll help you remember your God. Okay, okay. Will you show me how to have display a universal form? Can you show me a universal form? In this way, you see, Bhagavad Gita is not blind faith. Krishna's doing things. He's showing you. This is what you have to do if you say you're God. He's showing you he exists. There's such great value in taking Krishna's words directly. When you hear Krishna's words directly and repeat them to others, Krishna is there. You are seeing Krishna. But as soon as you distort the words of Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna's not there. That is why Srila Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita as it is, no distortion, then the effect is there. Krishna can be seen. That is why Srila Prabhupada said, before Bhagavad Gita as it is was published, there were maybe 100 English editions of Bhagavad Gita, but not one devotee of Krishna. These editions were by erudite professors, learned intellectuals. But no one became a devotee of Krishna reading them. But as soon as Bhagavad Gita, by the devotee of Krishna, arrived, the whole world became interested in Krishna consciousness. The whole world became eligible for seeing Krishna in the words of Bhagavad Gita, unadulterated. The problem is not, will Krishna be present? The problem is, will we become qualified to see Krishna? At the initiation yajna, we spoke yesterday about there's no question of seeing Krishna as long as there is sinful activity. That's why the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yesham ta antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam. Only those who have made an antagata papa, complete stop to sinful activity, only they can understand Krishna. Well, that is why we have our devotional standards. The purity has to be there for Krishna to be present. Therefore, we want to keep the core of our devotional community pure. That doesn't mean we condemn those who have slipped, but at the same time, the standard has to be clear. Not that I say one thing with my lips, but with my actions I do another. So Sometimes devotees have difficulties. So then they have to sort themselves out. But the standard of behavior has to be clear. Because without purity, Krishna will not be present. We can't pretend. Krishna is not fooled by pretense. This is Krishna's temple. Krishna knows what's going on. So we have to be very diligent to keep Krishna's temple clean and avoid pretension, hypocrisy. I remember 1974. There was a temple president, and he was a back then, to be a senior devotee, you meant you were around for 5 years. You were a senior Vaishnava. So, he got into a bit of hot water in terms of ladies and finances. And there were about 150 devotees of the temple. In eight, 60 brahmacharis, 40 brahmacharinis, and then householder community right around the temple of about 40 householders. Everyone was working hard for Krishna's pleasure, and practically no one had any idea that there was some funny business going on. So, and Prabhupada came to the temple, and right in the middle of the lecture, he started roaring. How can you do this? Be diplomat, intriguer, cheater against your Guru Maharaj. No one knew what he was talking about. So then, after Prabhupada left, devotees went and asked the temple president, what's Prabhupada talking about? He's talking about all those who criticize me. Then a few months later, the news broke, as it always does. Especially, when ladies are involved. Every lady has a best friend. She tells her best friend, and then that lady has her best friend, and she tells her best friend. So the whole community knows. But men always think, get away with this. Have a little bit of quick fun, and then no one will ever know. Material nature has it arranged that there's a system that always ruins all the fun. The ladies talk. At first they try to keep it in for a while. Then they just tell one other lady. You're my best friend, I'm telling you. And then that lady thinks about it, and she has a best friend. Let me tell you something. Don't tell anyone. So the men, they get fooled by this every time. The male program is the thing. I can have sense for that and get away with it. But material nature has it so designed that, it's the world of duality. So there's always something to contradict your hopes and aspirations. So anyway, the word came out sooner or later, and the devotees, what is this? Here we are working hard, this and that, and then we find out that this leader is doing such and such. Then everybody remembered Prabhupada's words, and we understood. Prabhupada knew what was going on. And then later Prabhupada wrote a letter and said that the fact that no one else in the temple was affected by these unsavory activities at the top means that you all are very sincere devotees. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was spiritually very clever. You see, we were trying to amass funds for a new building in New York. And so the devotees were going out on Sankirtan 7 days a week, and freezing weather, and like that. And so we had amassed money for the down payment, which was a lot back then, $100,000. So, as soon as we found out that this leader had gone off, actually everyone was like, oh, he must have taken the money. Oh, he's exploited us. All that devotional service. We've been cheated. Here we are trying to surrender to Krishna. This guy's doing this and that, you know, unsavory activities. And he's probably, you know, taking all the money for himself. And then I bought that too. And anyway, I had to go to Los Angeles to work on the BB team. This time it was 1975, maybe half a year later. So part of my service was to file all of the correspondence to Srila Prabhupada and also his letters that he wrote back. So the senior Vaishnava gave me that service. He told me, okay, take on your time. You can take all these letters from Prabhupada, but don't you read them. Right. All day I was in my BBT office, I was pouring to the last. So I got this one letter where, you know, written to the temple president in New York. I said, now we'll find out what's going on. So in the letter, Prabhupada wrote him that I've heard that you're collecting money for a new building in New York. I've heard that we've got about $100,000. We need to buy the land for the Bombay project. You've been to Bombay, where the Juhu Temple is. In 74, Prabhupada was arranging to buy that land. So, Prabhupada wrote, please kindly, just loan this money for buying the land in Bombay for the temple, and then, when it's time for you to get your building, you come back. So, of course, the temple president did that. He sent off all the money. And so, then, a few months later, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada. We're ready to get that building in New York. So, can you return the loan? Prabhupada wrote him, what? You have given and now you're asking back? So I was so happy to see Prabhupada and Al Fox. Prabhupada had taken all the savings and used it to buy land in Bombay before this guy would have a chance to abuse it all. It was great. So Prabhupada was empowered by Krishna how to deal with rascal disciples. It's a reality in Kali Yuga, you know. Rajagun, Tamagun, devotees slip in their spiritual practices and then they become bewildered. So as long as those things are going on, there's no question of seeing Krishna. We have to put a complete stop to sinful activity. Yes, we're forgiving if someone wants to be forgiven, if they have contrite feeling, oh, I'm sorry I did this, Maya was too strong, I fell victim, let me get myself together. All right, it could have happened to me. But if there's pretense, if there's hypocrisy, I didn't do anything. What difference does it make anyway? So what if I did it? Anyway, I'm the boss, so what are you going to do about it? No, that cannot be. Krishna doesn't like that. It is an art how to live for seeing Krishna. The art means how to always raise the level of purity. We're doing that not because we're fanatics, but because we want to see Krishna. And we know that without purity, you'll never be able to see Krishna. You'll become bewildered. There's an example in Chaitanya Leela. In Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya was there with his assistant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And Lord Chaitanya would sit under a particular tree in Vrindavan. From morning till noon, he would chant japa. And then in the afternoon, people would come and see him. So, all these people started to come to Lord Chaitanya saying, "We have seen Krishna. We have seen Krishna." Every night on the Kaliya Lake, Krishna is there dancing on Kaliya. "We have seen, we have seen, we have seen Krishna." And Lord Chaitanya would laugh and say, "Yes, you've seen Krishna. But in other words, not where you think you saw Krishna, but you have seen Krishna." So this went on day after day. So many people coming to see Lord Chaitanya. "We have seen Krishna. We have seen Krishna. He's on the Kaliya Lake again. He's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya." If their presentation became so impressive, they said, "We've even seen the dazzling jewels on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent. We've seen them shining in the night. We've seen Krishna dancing on those hoods." The presentation became so overpowering that even Lord Chaitanya's personal servant became overwhelmed. Balabhadra Bhattacharya said to Lord Chaitanya, "Can I go see Krishna directly? I want to go to see Krishna." What did Lord Chaitanya do? Slapped him. Why did Lord Chaitanya slap him? That was mercy. In other words, come to your senses. Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't you know Krishna does not appear directly in Kali Yuga? Where in the Shastra is there any direct incarnation of Krishna mentioned for Kali Yuga? Krishna comes directly in Dwarpa Yuga. Why are you concocting like this? Why are you being overwhelmed by what foolish people say? You're supposed to be a pundit, a learned scholar. Why are you carrying on in this way?" So just see how powerful Maya is. Balabhadra Bhattacharya is serving Lord Chaitanya, yet he's overwhelmed by this propaganda that Krishna is on the Kaliya Lake, forgetting what the Shastra says. The only incarnation in the age of Kali is Lord Chaitanya, but he's a covered incarnation, Channa Avatar. He doesn't come directly as Krishna, he comes as Krishna's devotee. So here, Balabhadra Bhattacharya is with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Lord Chaitanya, but he wants to go away and see Krishna. This shows you how foolish one can get, how bewildered the intelligence can be. So Lord Chaitanya mercifully slapped him. "What kind of pundit are you?" Then the whole mystery cleared up. Some more intelligent persons came to see Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya asked them, "Have you also gone to see Krishna?" And they laughed. They said, "The foolish people, you know what they're seeing? At night, there's a fisherman with his boat, and he catches fish by shining a torch, a stick lit with fire, and that's how he sees the fish. So the people, they look into the lake at night, they think the boat is Kaliya, they think the fisherman is Krishna, and they think his light, his torch, that's the blazing hoods on the Kaliya serpent's head." Here they are in Vrindavan, and they're being bewildered. That's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says you can't buy a ticket to the Holy Dham unless you have the prasada lesha, the trace of Krishna's mercy You can't understand Vrindavan or Krishna. Even you're there in Vrindavan. So these people are an example. We have seen Krishna. We have seen Krishna. And all they were seeing was a fisherman in his boat. So the gentleman explained that to Lord Chaitanya. But then the gentleman said, actually, we have seen Krishna. We're seeing you. You are Krishna. And then they gave Lord Chaitanya the Mayavadi explanation. Because you are a sannyasi, you are Narayan, therefore we see Krishna. Mayavadis think that the impersonal Brahman takes a shape and walks around as God. And they say that as soon as one, in India, so many people believe, as soon as someone takes sannyas, they're Narayan. So therefore these gentlemen were smart enough to understand that the fisherman on the Kaliya Lake was not Krishna, but they made the mistake of accepting Lord Chaitanya as Krishna from the Mayavadi point of view, that everybody's God. So yes, we've seen Krishna. You're a sannyasi, you're God. That one's God. That one's God. So then Lord Chaitanya had to instruct them in the difference between the finite jiva and the unlimited supreme personality of Godhead. How we cannot equal God in quantity. We are simply equal qualitatively. After Lord Chaitanya said that, then the gentlemen, they became enlightened by his words, and they said, actually, now we understand, but still, we're seeing Krishna. You are Krishna. You are Prajanda Nandana, the son of Maharaj Nanda. This time they were right. So, this shows you that there can be a lot of tricky business going on in seeing Krishna. That's why we urge devotees to study Srila Prabhupada's books. You have intelligence, use it to understand the science of Krishna. Okay, if you don't expect to understand all these things. Just be humble, and I don't read, I don't know anything, so I just have to accept whatever I'm told. All right, if you want to carry on your Krishna consciousness like that, you can. You won't go very deep. But if you try to understand the science of Krishna, you'll be attracted to Krishna. That is the whole point. How to be attracted to Krishna's personality. Then you'll actually see. Look at the mistake Balabhadra Bhattacharya made. He's directly with Krishna. He's a servant of Lord Chaitanya, but he wants to race off and see Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya had to shake him up a bit. What about us? We have the Archivigra here, the deity incarnation. We have Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have the holy name. But still we think we're not seeing God. This is our problem. For neophyte devotees especially, worshipping the deity in the temple is very important. The whole Archer program from morning to night is meant to fix the mind on Krishna and put you in contact with Krishna. But if we avoid the deity in the temple, how can we say we really want to see God? Krishna is here. He's accepting our service, but if we don't come to see him, then what's the point of our life? And often you see devotees, they lose that point because they lose interest in seeing Krishna. If you're going to make your home into a temple, that's okay, but you have to do that puja at home under the guidance of the guru. That is what the shastra says. That means regulated. Not that I have some murtis on my altar at home, and you know, sometimes I worship them, sometimes I don't, and sometimes I gather dust, other times I treat them nice. No, no. That will not get the job done. But sometimes the devotees make that mistake of thinking, I'll make my home into a temple, and just do some casual puja whenever I feel like it. Don't criticize, my home is a temple. It's not like that. Yes, your home can be a temple, and we hope your home is a temple. But that means the puja has to be done under the guidance of the guru, and has to be done in an authorized way. Even if it's just one artik a day, that it has to be there. Especially for neophyte devotees, deity worship is so important. Krishna is here with us as the deity, as Bhagavad Gita, as the Shastra, as the holy name. More and more we should wonder, why is it I think Krishna's not here? What's wrong with me? Not what's wrong with Krishna. When that conclusion dawns upon us, we'll have real humility. Something is wrong with me. I'm not seeing Krishna, although he's present in so many ways. So any questions?
What leads devotees in positions of responsibility like we're talking about to go astray? And is it like a set format of something they've done wrong, or could it be any aspect?
Spiritual weakness. Sometimes they have material expertise, but they don't have the spiritual backing. And also pride. I'm so smart, I'm so competent, the other devotees, what do they know? If they know what's good for them, they'll just do what I say. Pride. You see, in order to spread Krishna consciousness, we need devotees with skills. Because there's so many practical things necessary for spreading Krishna consciousness. You know, dealing with finances, dealing with administrative things, dealing with the government. But if devotees who have those skills become proud, then Krishna knocks them down. Krishna is only interested in bhakti. Only by bhakti can Krishna be conquered. Often, material expertise is not matched with spiritual expertise. Now, it's a fact in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, only by devotion, and I understood. By devotion, you'll go back to Godhead. Krishna doesn't say, by your material expertise, you'll go back to Godhead. So often in a temple, you'll have many sincere devotees with very nice bhakti, but they may not have material skills due to their past upbringing. They may not know how to do anything in this world. They'll go back to Godhead. But meanwhile, we do need skills in order to maintain the preaching mission. It'll take some time for devotees who are very simple and have no experience of doing anything in this world. It'll take some time for them to develop skills within Krishna consciousness. Often, I can see it takes like sometimes 10, 15 years, but they're very sincere. So they are the future hope. So they have the bhakti foundation, even though they were simple before coming to Krishna consciousness. They didn't know how to do anything in the world, you know, they never managed anything, never ran anything. But they had one thing understood, and that one thing will take them back to Godhead. They understand that we serve Krishna. So in time, as they're serving Krishna, they'll acquire skills. That's what goes on here. Well, that's what should go on here. Devotees should be acquiring skills. I myself always push devotees. Learn to do something for Krishna. Don't just be a bliss boy or a bliss girl. Learn to do something practical in Krishna's service, you know. I myself, I'm pushing like that. If you're going to cook, be a master cook. Be expert in puja. Learn the books. Learn the musical instruments. do it now when you're young, when you have that time and facility, or you should have the time and facility. I myself was always doing very intense devotional service in the very beginning, so I regret it. As Krishna's arrangement, but I didn't have the chance to learn how to cook. This is the kitchen religion, though. So learn everything. Acquire skills. Be eager to increase your abilities in Krishna's service. Just like when you're entering the job market in the mundane world, you're always thinking, if I take this course, will I be more attractive to employers? Maybe I'll learn a bit of accounting, maybe I'll learn a bit of this and that, and I'll be more competitive in the job market. So why can't we do that for Krishna's service? Especially, let me warn you, what happens if you are at all a halfway sincere devotee? After a few years, you get overloaded with devotional service. Therefore, in these years before someone discovers, you know, that you're a very sincere devotee, you better learn as much as you can. Because after that, you're just full on. Not only that, but as you get up in the years, you know, if you marry and have kids, you don't have any time for learning anything else, and you just basically have to stick with what you already know. So it's good. Those of you who are young devotees in your early 20s, even late teens, you should learn as much as you can. Don't think you're just going to have all this time and facility all your life. No, it's not like that. So I'm always urging devotees, increase your skills, increase your competency. Don't just be a, you know, real nice spacer. How do you vote for Bruce? Child Bruce. Hare Krishna. That's okay, but if you really care for Krishna, learn how to do something right. Part of serving Krishna, part of caring for Krishna, is you want to increase your skills. So, you're asking, what happens when persons who have these skills and they're in positions of responsibility and then they goof up, they become proud. The other devotees, they're simple fellows. I know how to do things in this world, just listen to me. And they also start developing an offensive attitude toward devotees. They don't understand it's offensive. These guys know. Just get to work. You need those kind of persons, though, because while you're waiting for the bliss boys and bliss girls to, you know, acquire skills, which might take 10 or 15 years. Meanwhile, you know, the institution has to go on for the sake of outreaching to others. So it's a balance. You have to bring up the sincere ones who don't have skills on a long-range program while utilizing those who have skills but may not have all the devotional sincerity. So you have, it's like, you have to balance the whole situation. Otherwise, you'll be out of business. You've got to stay in business. This is Krishna's business. So Prabhupada was the master at working with whatever Krishna sent him in a non-sentimental utopian way. So, Krishna sent me hippies. What can I do? I got to put the hippies to work. So, Krishna consciousness is realistic. It's not pie in the sky. We have to work with the best that we have for Krishna's pleasure. And then Krishna will send more. So, those devotees who come and they're sincere but they don't have skills, we have to make sure they get devotional skills. that's better than just relying on one person who has those skills. Okay, you're the only one who knows how to, you know, tie your shoelaces while talking, so you get the post. All glory to you. Just tell us what to do and we'll do it. My own personal approach is everyone should learn how to do everything as much as possible. Interchangeable parts. Everyone should learn according to their capacity. All the different skills needed in Krishna consciousness. That way you're not just dependent on one person. Also, it's inspiring for all the devotees to feel that weight on their shoulders. I've got to learn how to do so many things for Krishna. It gives them a feeling of confidence. Especially, many of them will marry, and then when they go out into the material world to get a job, which many of them will do, they'll have this sense of confidence that when I, you know, in the temple, I learned so many things, so I can also do that in terms of a job to support my family. But if they've just been in the temple and kind of, Jai Prabhu, yes, yes, yes. What time should I take prasad today? Hey, Prabhu, you've been around here for 10 years. What are you doing asking me that? I was just being humble. Like that mentality. You know? And then those kind of Prabhus, they get married, and then they have to go out and get a job. You know, can you imagine going up to an employer and a job? Just tell me what to do. It doesn't work like that. If you don't have that confidence, the employers immediately pick up on it. You've been doing all your life, yeah. So it's better that the devotees become competent and get that sense of confidence within the house of bhakti. And there's so many things we need done around here. So many skills are needed. Cooking, preaching, managing, fixing things. So many things. I had a very enlightening moment. I think it was 1978 when I went to preach in Eastern Europe. I'd never driven. I didn't get my driver's license until I was 27 or 28. And so I went to Europe when I was 28, 27. I learned how to drive. Otherwise, when I was 17 or 18, I had gotten into it. Someone was driving a van and it was a big accident. And so I just lost my taste for wanting to learn how to drive. So anyway, I was going to Europe and I had to learn how to drive. And so one devotee, Yadubar, the famous Yadubar the filmmaker, he was teaching me how to drive. I just couldn't get it, you know, because I had learned how to drive a manual. In the States, everything's automatic, but because I was going to Europe, I had learned how to drive a manual. Most of you will drive manuals, right? But no, automatic. Yeah. So I just couldn't get it, you know, the shifting and pushing down the clutch, and, you know, that's just too much, you know. But I had to get my license before I left. So then I came up with an idea. we've got a few days before I have to leave. I've got to pass the test. This is what we'll do. We'll go to the motor vehicle testing place and we'll follow behind the cars that are being tested and we'll learn. I'll just learn everything that they're being tested on. That's all. So that's what we did. We just followed the test car around. And I just learned everything that, you know, that they would ask you to do for the driving test. Nothing more. So it came time for, you know, I went for my test and the instructor told me to do everything just that I'd seen, you know. I just did all that perfectly until I got my license. It didn't mean I knew how to drive. So when I got to Europe, the devotee was in charge. He just said, well, you got to drive. I said, well, I got a license, but I don't know how to drive. He said, well, right now you're just going to get on the Autobahn and you're going to drive. You know, Autobahn, you know, no speed limit. The left lane, you know, it'd be reversed for you here. But anyway, there's three lanes on each side of the Autobahn. The lane closest to the middle, that's the fast lane where the Porsches and the BMWs and the Mercedes, they're going minimum 180 kilometers per hour. The middle lane, 150, 160. And then the lane closest to the edge of the road, that's, you know, 90 Ks, 100 Ks, trucks, buses, and slow drivers. So I kept trying to stay on the right, you know, going 90 Ks an hour. But the door is, nah, get over there, into the fast lane. I said, well, if you're brave enough to be in the car with me, I'm brave enough to go into the fast lane. That's how I learned to drive. Starting at 160 km per hour. It was great when you're a young devotee, you know. It didn't take you a while to get into it, you know. So I was driving all over Europe, you know, 180 km per hour. Yes, Harry Paul, Chris McCandless. Get together with the other devotees. How big is your exit? How long did it take you to get to Berlin from Frankfurt? I did 3 hours flat. Whoa. Now we're by Krishna. But I'll never forget, it was very important for me, that devotee who was in charge, one day he got all the, you know, the preachers, and he just said, I'm going to teach you how to take care of a car. And he said, you know, you got to watch out for this, check your tire pressure, watch out for this in the engine. It took about 2 hours. He gave us a whole, and I never got that. I was very grateful. Wow, this is a valuable skill to learn, how to take care of a car. No one had ever done that before. You know, the Hare Krishnas, they have the temple cars. You know how to tell a Hare Krishna car? When you jump in, if you do manage to find the key, who's got the key? He used it 2 days ago, he didn't get the key back. But you know, Hare Krishna, it's a Hare Krishna car. And the ultimate proof that it's a Hare Krishna car is when you've got a pressing appointment. You're late, you got a visa mate. You jump in the car after finally finding the Prabhu who had the key. You jump in the car and no petrol. And that's as much as devotees know about cars. Why? Because no one's taken the trouble to teach them how to care for a car, which is used in Krishna's service. So I never forgot that. And so I always insisted, especially Sankirtan devotees, you have to know something about cars. You're using it in Krishna's service. Don't have this Mayavadi attitude, oh, we don't need to know about that, we just chant Hare Krishna. No, this is not Prabhupada's style. Prabhupada's style is things that are used in Krishna's service are valuable. So we should have this attitude about everything. Whatever you're using or needs using Krishna's service, you should know about. Whether it's cars or computers or this, that. If you're sewing for the deity, you should know the best ways how to sew. That is Krishna consciousness, because everything belongs to Krishna. So when there's that kind of mood, giving everybody a chance to develop skills and come up, then there's not such a, you know, panic when if the one person who knows how to tie his shoes and talk at the same time, you know, has a problem. Oh no, we got the one guy who, you know, knows his name. He's having a problem. What's going to happen to the temple? This is what actually Srila Prabhupada did. He just sent masses of soldiers onto the battlefield. He didn't just rely on one person. He gave everyone a big chance, but If you made a mistake, Prabhupada had 10 persons behind you ready to take your spot. He was practical. Not that, okay, you are the one, and your competence, and everyone else will just chant Hare Krishna, and you just tell us what to do. No. Prabhupada always had more and more persons coming up, ready to, like in sports, if the star player goes down, you bring someone in off the bench who's ready, and give him a chance to be a star. That's the way it works. So in order for that to happen, all of our devotees need to be conscious about developing skills. Because Krishna's service requires skills. And as a side benefit, you'll see that those devotees who do that, they're always learning skills. If they marry, which most of them will, and they have to go out to the job market, they'll have the confidence. I can learn things. I can do things. I've developed expertise before, and the employers pick up on that attitude. You've got savvy. Okay, what do you want me to learn? I can do it. You're also bringing skills you learned at the temple. I know so many devotees who they got married, they have family, they got a good job based on things they learned being a devotee. So this is a side benefit. The main thing, of course, is that Krishna's service requires competence. So our devotees have to be trained how to do things. Whether it's how a car works, how a computer works, how to do treasury work, how to manage. Management's a skill. All these things we require for the study of Krishna consciousness. That is the best way how to see Krishna, become qualified to serve Krishna. Seeing opportunities for Krishna's service means seeing Krishna. Any questions?
You mentioned early on in your lecture that Krishna had four different types of personality. What is this?
You haven't read Nectar Devotion? You took Bhakti Shastri in Mayapur.
You didn't go that far. Not the Eastern Russian. We have studied the Eastern Russian.
Dhiro Datta, Dhiro Lalita, Dhiro Prashanta, Dhiro Datta. Those are the four types of personality. If you want to know more, read the book. They're contradictory in that. One type means that Krishna is very mild and well-behaved and gentle. Then the other type is that Krishna is very clever, joking, good at using things. Another type is that Krishna can be very envious when challenging a demon. You sinful frog. I am the black snake Krishna who loves to gobble up sinful frogs like you. All these things are balanced in Krishna's personality. Yes.
I was wondering, often when these people write to Mary and through the very valuable reason, and they get to the second chapter, and they read what Prabhupada says about wondering, untrust, not trustworthy, and unintelligent, and they stop when you have the key.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering how to deal with that situation.
Ooh, I think Beth and Shantam and I were having a discussion about this a couple of days ago. Because what the people will think is, what do you mean? They're women prime ministers, they're women scientists, they're this, that, the other. How can you say such a thing, right? When I was discussing with Beth and Shantama also, she asked me this question. She's not here, right? I can see talk about it. Shut the door. So she had this doubt also. She wrote me about a year ago. I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know. So I explained, and then I gave an example a couple of days ago, and folks at that mission time said, yeah, yeah, that's right. I was in Romani. It was Romani, that's right. It was from Papa in Romani, yes. How do we, let's see, how can I explain the situation? Or do you want to say? Or rather not? Okay, he doesn't mind.
More of an intelligence game swimmer, because of their emotional attachments, they often overlook their intelligence and don't use it because of their emotional entanglement is so strong. And they forget that they're intelligent anyway, and they just sort of put up in their emotions.
And allow themselves to be victimized.
Yeah.
I know this relationship's not going to last, but I can't let it go. I'm helping him. He asked me. I know it's not going to last, but... I was his first girlfriend. So, in that sense, less intelligent. But people don't understand that part. They just look at the, what do you mean, women are scientists, they're prime ministers, this, that. New Zealand, the whole government's controlled by women. How can you say that? So, the Shastra is not talking about that. It's talking about the tendency to become overwhelmed and not follow your intelligence even though you see. Reminds you of a, I told you sometimes, an old blues song, I was a young guy. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That's the attitude, you know. Okay, I'm too attached. So what if he's mistreating me? So what? I can't let him go. Maybe he's in Maya now, but in the future, he could be Krishna conscious. That kind of thing. You look astonished. Yes, this is what goes on. So, because of that, the Shastra says less intelligent. But Krishna says he takes everyone back to God. Krishna doesn't say, I only take the man. He says, I take everyone. And then, of course, you look at Kali Yuga and you look at the man, you know, do you see the Arjunas, the Yudhisthiras? You see, the men have destroyed themselves by exploiting the women, telling the women so many things, you're my first girlfriend, all these kind of things, pushing the women to be very liberal in their giving of the benefits. The men think, oh, this is really good. Yeah. If you happen to get pregnant, I don't have to worry. The government will take care of you. Men think it's wonderful. But the men are dumb in that they don't understand. By this behavior, they destroy their brains. So this is what you have today. You just look at New Zealand and see what's going on. The women, just free and open and liberal, since the age of 13, 14, sometimes 12. And the men, thinking, oh, we're having such a good time, plundering all this, and the men have no brains. No determination, so weak. Well, this is what we're dealing with in spreading Krishna consciousness. These are the kind of persons who come forward to be Krishna conscious, because that's what the population is. So it takes some time to clean up everybody. Get the men to be men, the ladies to be ladies, and then understand we're all spirit soul. You judge? But first, you've got to teach people how to be civilized. By the way, you're a lady. You don't act in a certain way. You're a man. You're supposed to act this way. Oh, yeah. And the parents these days are no help. In fact, these days, the parents protest that their children are learning Krishna conscious standards of purity. I know one devotee, he, before coming to Krishna consciousness, he had kind of figured out that this kind of illicit sex thing, it's not right. So he told his girlfriend, that's it, no more of this stuff. And then when he went to visit his girlfriend, his mother answered the door and started berating him. What are you doing to my daughter? What kind of guy are you? Are you weird? You know? I'm serious. What's wrong with you? That's a true story. Then, another example, one couple, when the girl was 14, she had a boyfriend about 23. The parents were affluent, respectable people, nice, respectable Kiwis, experienced veteran school teachers who could go all over the world and teach and bring back money like that. And so the daughter, was attached to a particular guy. Of course, what did the parents say? Well, bring him home, live with him. What's the problem, So she did that, and they stayed together for 8 years. And by the time they became devotees, she had two kids. So then I said, okay, you're becoming Krishna conscious, that's great. Did you ever think about marriage? Oh, marriage. I never thought about it. Yeah, it might be a good idea. Now that you've been together for 8 years, and you have two kids, maybe marriage might be possible. All right, okay, sure, Gumaran. Yeah, marriage, yeah. So they went to the mother, the girl's mother, and said, we're going to get married, it's a Krishna conscious way of doing things, And what did the mother tell her? Wait, don't rush into anything. Be careful, be slow. Are you sure he's the man for you? Think about it. So the daughter had to tell the mother, excuse me, Mom, but I think it's a bit late for all that. I've got two kids. We've been together for 8 years. So this is modern parenting in New Zealand, yeah? Such parents would be considered very enlightened. So many times in talking to devotees, we find that their parents are the main barriers to purity. Married for? Just live with the guy. Come on, get real. Check him out fully.
This is going on.
So, we're dealing with a complete social breakdown in the population. And then those fortunate members of that population come to Krishna consciousness. Does that mean automatically they know what to do? They're saints, they're civilized? No, they have to be taught how to be civilized. So Prabhupada is doing two amazing things at the same time. He's teaching his process, his movement, is teaching people how to be civilized at the same time, how to be the highest transcendentalist. Both are going on at the same time. It's never been done before. So naturally, in trying for such an inconceivable goal, there are going to be some disappointments. Therefore, you'll see sometimes 1 year someone is Krishna, 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 the next year they're down in the mode of passion and ignorance. This is not the fault of the Krishna conscious movement. We're dealing with a population that's like this. So, the Shastra says, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone is born Sudra and less. Everyone is born low class and less. So the men have nothing to be proud about. So the ladies should understand that when they read those verses in the Gita. Yes, ladies have the tendency to get emotionally bewildered and victimized. I think I've described this to you before, how sometimes in Wellington, we have these sessions where we get our former Playboy men to recite all the lines they say. Remember that view now, are you there? Yeah, and the women are just astonished. Look, gross! How can they think like that? They're astonished to hear it. The men just say it. Who else is there with that? Huh? Yeah, astonishing, isn't it? You thought guys are nice, they're good, right? They're gallant, They mean well, busy, little help in managing their emotions, right? They hear these things. So I just had, you know. I will tell you who the extras are. I have a couple of them here now. They would just start saying all the lines they would tell girls, you know. And the women were just like, they're getting angry. You can't say that to us. Really? That's what you say? Yeah. And the guys just laughing. You fools. So, when you, I found that by doing discussions like that, then the ladies see what's going on. They realize we're being dumb. So, the lack of intelligence is because, the lack of intelligence label is because of that thing. If you know how to protect yourself against that thing, then you're not less intelligent. Okay? Fair enough? But every day you're seeing the men taking advantage of that. Make you think you care for her and then plunder her. But what the men don't understand is by that process, the men become even more stupid. They lose their intelligence. Brain becomes dull. So this is what you're dealing with today. A complete mess on both sides, male and female. Yes.
Does the gene tech set the body according to their desire and their previous time?
You have not read Bhagavad Gita? So you should know how to answer the question. It's not simply your desire, but also you have to have a karma in order to get the best kind of body for fulfilling your desires. Yes.
In the past, hearing the deed, how is it that karma can avoid materially considering the form of the world?
You see the deity through the eyes of the Shastra. Therefore, I said it's best to recite verses for the deity's pleasure. You cannot see spirit, so Krishna has come before you looking like matter, so you can see something. We're not idol worshippers. Idol worship means you concoct some form of the Lord, like in the Bible, the golden calf. Let's all worship the golden calf. That's idol worship. Deity worship means it's done strictly according to the standards of the Shastra. We're not concocting how the Lord looks. The scriptures are there. Just like in the evenings, you've been reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. How Krishna looks. His face. His smile. How Krishna smells. How he tastes the sweetness of Krishna's form. The Madhuryamrita. So we're hearing all about that. There's no concoction. Yes.
Perhaps you're talking about devotees becoming expert, even if they get married, they can continue their expertise in more material field or the other areas of spotlight. My question is, it seems that that happens a lot in our ISKCON temples. And what happens? That devotees get trained up in the temple and, you know, get a bit fixed up and a bit purified, and then when they're ready, they go out more into the material world, you know, material field, not the responsibilities, but quite often the temple comes depleted. And,
yes, that's why you always have to be reaching out to others. And those devotees who have the need to work in the material world, they should still contribute to the temple. Contribute their abilities, contribute their support. But meanwhile, you have to keep reaching out to others. Why should things become depleted when the number of people suffering in the material world is increasing? Things become depleted when we're not reaching out. When we have a very closed-off attitude, then things become depleted. And also those devotees who are working in the world, they should still help the temple with their skills, their resources, as proper management. Jeff Pierre. He's a programmer for the National Bank. Every once in a while, he would Marada, his son, I want to quit. And he was working with his Maya. Now, he's got the kind of job. He makes his own hours. They are only concerned the National Bank get the project run. He can go in at midnight, come out at 8 in the morning. Yeah. Any time that he can go into his office. He doesn't have to work with anybody, just him and the computer screen. Nice job for a devotee. It's not obtrusive into his personal life. It's a service, a job that helps devotees because he can help devotees with their computer problems. But every once in a while, I want to be a pure devotee. Oh, no way. Are you ready to live in a Brahmacharya ashram?
No.
Okay, then, you got the best deal. Learn how to do your job in Krishna consciousness, especially a nice job like that in which you don't have to punch any clock according to a preset pattern. You can do a whole morning program of devotees, go in any time. Simply, he has to finish his projects. That's all. They don't care how he does it, just as long as he does it. And then meanwhile, through his working, he's supporting Krishna conscious projects. He helps out in Wellington. He keeps me flying in the air. So, that's very, very glorious. Working life in Krishna consciousness. Then when it's time for him to marry, one Krishna conscious lady will check him out. Good devotion, makes money too.
Yeah.
All there. Honey ball. Right?
I have pure devotees. You can get all the money.
Ladies, have any questions? Hare, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for it.
Is there a Swami?
Yeah.